Chapter 24. Endless Night. Cruiser Monarchia, the Altar. The ship had not been difficult to find. Amongst the many monitors, the barges and frigates, the freighters and barks all departing Macragg, it was easily the largest. Cor Gallic had smiled when his shipmaster brought word of its discovery.
Charybdis, he murmured, reading the vessel's designation off a data slate that he immediately discarded. In Grecian myth, it was a denizen of the deep, so massive its maw drank in the sea, a swirling vortex that dragged ships to their doom.
Cor Gallic looked up from his kneeling position in the altar. His crimson robes spilled across the cold, slabbed floor. They were heavy with blood and gleamed wetly in the flickering brazier light. No lumens or phosphor lamps were permitted here. This was ancient, primordial, ritual, just like the chamber he currently occupied.
"Poetic, isn't it?" he asked of his armoured shadow.
"I care not," uttered a deep, rich voice, "unless it means a sooner reckoning."
"Their destination is a maelstrom," said Cor Gallic as he was rising to his feet. "Surely the irony of that and the name of their ship is not lost on you, Dega?"
"I didn't say I could not see it. I said I didn't care. Will it lead us to him?"
Degat remained stock still, arms folded. They were bare in the style of the 12th, but Degat was devoted to the word. It was etched into his skin, dark enough that the hue of his flesh was changed by the religious ink. Zealot, warrior, cut from the same dark cloth as Barthuzar Narek. Similar cloth, given recent revelations.
"It will lead us to the Fulgurite," Cor Gallic answered truthfully, "which in turn will give us Narek, and more besides."
"Vulcan?"
"Yes," said Cor Gallic.
"You knew?"
"I suspected. The soulless talk, if properly motivated. Their knowledge can be useful, if not always trusted."
Cor Gallic shook his head.
"Elias always used them as blunt instruments, and look where that got him, the fool. A being that powerful, hurtling through the ether, it does not go unnoticed."
"Macragg is a fortress," said Degat. "How did you manage to get them to leave?"
"Grief. I did not lie to Numeon when I said I knew his thoughts. I knew everything. His desperation makes him predictable. I knew the threat of Zenutsul would provide the gentle push he needed."
"A ship, vulnerable and alone, instead of a fortress." Degat's eyes twitched, as close to an expression of amusement as he ever got. Cor Gallic nodded.
"All three for the taking."
"Narek dies first. Do what you want with the rest," said Degat.
"I have already struck the bargain with our allies," Cor Gallic replied as he paced the room, padding slowly and quietly on bare feet. A small blade in his hand shimmered as it caught the light. The light revealed other things, too. He and Degat were not the altar's only inhabitants, and this was not the only altar on the ship. Cor Gallic had named them thusly on account of their ancient heritage and sacrificial purpose. Every one of the 8 altars had been hewn from Colchisian stone, once grey but now almost crimson with the amount of blood spilled over them. Several transhuman prisoners were chained up around the octagonal structure, one for each point. 8 altars, 8 prisoners, 8 points.
8 times 8 times 8.
Cor Gallic recited the ritual words in a solemn undertone.
He eyed the first offering, reaching for the gag over its mouth. He liked to hear them first, to hear their confessions and their lies. Death brought out truth. It was their penance for shunning true gods. Primordial annihilation awaited, even for Degat, even for him. Kor Galek accepted that when his purpose had ended, he too would become part of the Great Cull, the extinction of everything. Degat disturbed the preacher's inner thoughts. "What if they endure the ruin storm?" he asked, rasping loudly through the snarling rebreather. It only covered his mouth and nose. His eyes were visible, unshielded by visor glass. They gleamed like ice chips, as searing as cryogen. Kor Galek smiled. He did so pityingly, for he was regarding the defiant face of the warrior in chains before him. Seizing the gag, he pulled it away.
"You won't break me," a legionary growled through clenched teeth.
He had the iron-hard skin of Medusa, and his oil-black hair shimmered with sweat. A scar savaged his right eye, nearly annihilating the grim tattoo beneath it.
"I know," Kor Galek replied, sadly. "I have always respected the courage of the Iron Hands."
The legionary frowned, nonplussed. His good eye was drawn to the silver blade in Kor Galek's hand. He sneered.
"Part the veil, unleash your fiends, you'll find no host in me."
This one had experience fighting the Neverborn, then. Or perhaps he had met one of Kor Galek's unburdened, like Zenut Sul.
"It doesn't work like that," Kor Galek told him.
"I fear no ensorcelled blade," the prisoner spat.
"It's just a knife, although one you should really be familiar with."
The legionary frowned again, making deep fissures in his craggy brow. His eyes widened when Kor Galek drew the blade across his neck. The preacher had to carve a little. Medusan flesh was quite unyielding. As the blood spewed from the carotid artery, the anticoagulants on the blade, inhibiting Laramon clotting and condemning the subject to death, Kor Galek smiled again.
"The sorcery comes with your blood, my erstwhile brother. Lorgar thanks you for your sacrifice."
In a few minutes, the Iron Hands legionary was dead.
"They won't survive the ruin storm," Kor Galek told Degat, moving on to the second prisoner, his blade still bloody. "I'm scripting a coda to the Primarch's symphony. Its echoes will ripple across endless night, and when it has them, when they falter, then we fall upon the drakes and finish what was begun at Istvan."